WFBL, I'm News to Now meteorologist Todd Kirkman.
Oh, grab these computers. They're so naughty and so complex.
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your calls.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Good morning, everybody. I am your host for this hour of news and technology. And I see I flubbed it up already. I just started and I'm goofing it up. I don't have we got the old team in here, the A team from the original show from many, many years ago. What, two?
Right.
I'm your host, Mike Rayo, anyway, for technology news and information. Phone number 421-9325, 421-WFBL. With me is Scott Rustin, Function One Systems. Hey, Scott.
Mike, how are you?
Good
to be back.
Yeah. I'm looking at, I got a picture of your son here, Christmas
yep.
card. Thanks for giving me a card, by the way. I appreciate
sure.
that. It's only January 7th.
That's but, still holiday time.
Oh, and it says Happy Holidays.
Well, yeah, we have some that say Merry Christmas and some
do they?
Say Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
For our Julie
so
cards.
You got the PC piece politically
right.
correct.
Right. Hey, we're going to a holiday party tonight, so it's still holiday time. So
that's true. Good. That's true. That's absolutely true. Actually, I'm going to one tonight as well.
Are you?
Maybe
good.
It's the same party. I actually am.
One of our clients.
Yeah. Sitting over to his left and my right, if you're paying attention on the radio, is Chuck Swanson from Swanson Computer Consulting, what are you, like the number one trainer for Microsoft?
I've been on the road a little bit lately, but it's nice to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, you've been. Have you been to every state in the United States yet?
No, actually, I have not. There's four left. I haven't been to Alaska, New Mexico, and North and South Dakota, so I'm dying
okay.
to go there if anybody has any opportunities.
All right, so we're going to play this theme song when you get to the... What, now, what was it? New Mexico, South Dakota, did you say, or North?
North and South Dakota, not much work out there, yeah.
Yeah, well,
New Mexico.
They have to discover electricity first. So
New Mexico and Alaska.
Oh, Alaska's great. I've been to Alaska. That's really great. I love. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, not this time of the year. Your pores shrink so much that you actually, you know, you lose inches because your face contracts so much. It is absolutely freezing at this
yep.
time of the year. Okay, hey, what are we going to cover on the show today? We might as well get to that. Our feature today, we're going to talk about high-definition television. I had to wait for somebody to come in here that had an HDTV besides me. And that's Scott.
That
so Scott and I are going to talk about HDTV, and Chuck's going to just be jealous.
Wait. Does a 7.3-inch bathroom HDTV count? I have it in my bathroom.
Anyway, that's way
it's also a DVD player, too.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
And you have it in your bathroom.
It's like when I'm showering, I could watch.
Oh, showering.
TV.
Yes, right.
Well, listen
okay.
to the radio, of course. You know,
right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. 7-inch high definition. No, it doesn't qualify.
It does play the
high definition.
Yeah, in the widescreen format.
Do you have an HD converter on there, too?
No.
Yeah.
You got it hooked up to your satellite dish.
I can see the Time Warner guys coming in. So we're wiring this box where?
Yeah, they did say that, actually. It's funny you should say that because they did say that.
The kids are going, Dad, get out of the shower. We wanted to watch TV. Come on. Barney's on. Hurry up. All right, listen to us live on the Internet. Actually, we've got some web changes coming, but if you want to listen to us live, you can go to WFBL.com. It's actually www.WFBL.com, so I guess it's four W's. Listen to us live. There are some new rules coming up. We'll have some information about that, but we're working on a podcasting deal, and you can go to our website also and listen to the past shows. We'll have this show up today, right? We're going to have this show up today. Last week's show isn't up on the site yet, but that will also be up there today as well. And then from now on, within 24 hours, this show will be up live on the Internet. Now, you still should listen to us live because it's much more fun live. And then you can tell all your friends about it, and then you're cool because you got to hear the stuff that they talked about. We've got Scott's Geek of the Week software pick because... Jim and Tim, we didn't talk about that. You know these guys, right? The Geek Boys?
Yes,
they're here for you. Introduce them to me, Chuck.
Yes, right.
They're in New York City. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing
they
there.
Listening?
Yeah, well, they were going for Nerds at Noon is the name of the show, so I'm sure that they're consulting with the Mystics right now, and they're probably not listening. Mm-hmm. But I think they went down there for the big Times Square New Year celebration, but they were a little, I guess their calendars were off or something. Well,
you know, I thought I'd be the geekiest one coming in here, but you guys have got USB ports coming out your ears. Mike's got one on his ear. Chuck's got one on his finger. He's got one on his watch. Mike pulls out a Swiss Army knife, and it's got a USB plug.
Well, it's
I don't have a USB plug anywhere but on my computer that's on my lap right now.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I've got a...
I'm happy to say that.
Well, we'll give you some desk space here if you want to put it up on the counter. USB drives are really cool. I mean, the Victorinox, it's the little Victorinox pocket knife, and I've used them for years and lose them all the time. So I always buy three or four of them at once. But they're about $18 or $19.
Yeah,
this one was $27 with the 512 megabyte USB drive on it.
Nice.
Can't beat it.
Does it have scissors too?
It's got the scissors and it's got all the geek stuff. It's got instead of a toothpick, it's got a pen, and then it's got your regular screwdriver and stuff like that. And it's got the nail file because every Swiss Army knife has to come with a nail file because when you're stranded in the desert. Or on a remote island like Tom Hanks was, you got to do your nails. I mean, it's very important, so you have to.
And
be
Mike,
able to
Mike's
do
nails
that.
Are beautifully manicured. Only you can see them now.
We got some announcements coming up a little bit later in the show. Of course, your calls at 421-9325-421 WFBL. People have called already, probably to tell us to get lost. I don't know. Tim's not here, so I'm going to do the. I think I'm going to do the news, right, Gus? Yeah? Okay. That was Gus, our board operator. He just pushed that button and made you hear that music right there. Hey, the big news this week is this is the annual Geek Week. This is the Computer and Electronics Show 2006, Gadget Glitz in Las Vegas, it's called this year. The gadget-loving masses have descended on Las Vegas for the annual Blockbuster Consumer Electronics Show. For the conference rooms to the show, key for parties, all that kind of stuff. Now, what I found very, very cool is you get to, on these shows, you get to see what's coming out next. Now, a lot of the vendors are there trying to promote their current products, but some of them come out with, hey, here's what's coming soon. And one of the coolest products I saw is Philips is going to release in 2 years, maybe sooner, a three-dimensional high-definition television.
Wow.
Now, 3D technology, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but like the Super Bowl, I think 7 or 8 years ago, they had the halftime show in 3D.
Right.
Now, this isn't that lame 3D that you see where you got to wear the blue and red glasses. It's the 3D like you see at Disney World. But it's so proprietary. The people who developed it are so protective of the technology that it's... What happened?
I don't know. It's just funny. Actually, Discovery's doing that right now, actually. Discovery Channel HD does 3D broadcast, but I think you have to wear the goofy...
You got to wear those goofy glasses, which causes one side of your brain to receive the image a split second slower.
Those glasses? Do you remember those glasses?
I don't remember Super Bowl being...
He doesn't. He can't. Nobody can hear him, by the way, except you.
Oh, all right.
Well, he's okay because there's no microphone in front of him.
We'll speak for him.
Technology, all right.
No, but actually, it's a really cool 3D technology, but it's so heavily licensed and so expensive that it's really kind of held it back for a very, very long time.
Because
it's been around for a very, very long time,
it's bad.
It's extremely cool stuff. It's bad? I don't know if it's bad.
Well, I don't know. I was actually trying them this weekend. My dad had the glasses and everything, and I tried to put them on. Everything just looks red and blue and polarized. So.
Yeah, but this 3D is like I said, like you see at Disney World, which looks like sunglasses.
So you don't need to wear special glasses.
Well, they are, but they only affect, one eye, and they make one side of your brain receive the information a little slower, and that gives it the 3D effect. It is a very, very cool effect. And I think it's pretty cool that there's going to be a television with this stuff built in. And I don't know if you'll have to wear glasses or not. That was one thing that was very neat. Now, the keynote speaker for this wonderful event was our very own Bill Gates, who, of course, we have to kneel. That took me a second to say that, because I have to kneel in reverence to Bill, because we all make our living thanks to him. But Bill Gates shows off Vista at the CES keynote address. After months of touting Vista's geekier side, Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates on Wednesday highlighted features of the new version of Windows designed to appeal to the average consumer.
Right. Yes. And does the average consumer out there know what Vista is?
Vista is the newest version of Windows that
XP's next version.
Yeah, it's not it's not vaporware though. When's it supposed to come out, Chuck?
Soon.
I'm not sure when it's supposed to.
2007 maybe.
My guess is probably 2007. I just ended a bug report because I think I could say this: SpongeBob did not work properly, and I can't wait till I get the report. I did load it on my machine, of course, but I loaded it on you know, my kid's machine.
Right.
And SpongeBob.exe had a problem. Tonka Trucks. So a lot of kids' games are.
Those are what we call mission critical.
They are when your kid is screaming, "I won't even do it." Okay, please. No, there's just no way. Now, Gates, the first thing Gates had to do, he's gone Hollywood now. Yeah. He began his speech by noting his recent appearance along with his wife, Melinda, and U2's Bono on Time Magazine's Persons of the Year. So he made the Time Magazine Person or Man of the Year, and he couldn't wait to talk about that. And I want to talk about it because he was very humble. He said, well, if there was one more hurricane, he says Mother Nature probably would have been Person of the Year. So he feels privileged that he made the cover instead of, you know, Mother Nature.
Yeah, yeah.
How humble. Then he went on to talk about a day in the life in the future, his vision for the future. And I got to read this because it's actually quite funny. His demonstration illustrated a typical day in the future, which began at home with an on-demand video clip and included a look at a map that showed the location of his family members. What's he got him hidden in basement somewhere, blindfolded? What the heck is that? You know, I don't need to check a map. I can, you know, here's what I do in the morning when I'm watching my on-demand video clip. I open up the bathroom door and go, "Hey, where is everybody?" And then they respond, they're not out of the house yet. It's the morning. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then after heading to his office, he used three large flat-screen monitors to take part in a video conference because, of course, we can all afford three large flat-screen monitors.
Right.
Finally, he headed to the airport with just his cell phone, and at the airport lounge, his cell phone connected to a screen, and he instantly had a full computer desktop to work on. The phone could even connect to a nearby camera. The phone is very different. The idea of a meeting is very different, said Gates. I don't know. I know I have a phone that does a lot, but I don't know if my phone can go, hey, take control of that camera over there because I want to see myself. They're showing CNN's Time Magazine of the Year, and I got to go watch that. All right, we got to take a break. I butchered the news, but I haven't done it in like a year. So when we come back, we'll talk about high-definition TVs. Of course, we'll have your calls. We've got Scott's Geek of the Week software pick, and we're going to let Chuck talk for a little while, too, when we come back. So do you don't want to miss that. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com. So Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390, WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Oh, look at that computer. That's the way you do it.
Look at that computer. Hey, we're back with more of MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL. Number to call if you want to become part of the show, 421-9325-421-WFBL. I guess we're not going to get a lot of calls from the Cortland Groton area because I guess the signal is really bad down there. We got a call from one of our regular listeners down there letting us know that, hey, the signal is kind of bad. So he's doing an air check for us. And Bob from Groton, I just want to thank you for doing that. And I think we'll try to get that fixed as soon as we can. 421-9325 is the number to call. Chuck is amazed by the talent that's coming out of this microphone. No, that was actually, so my mic has got a little jumping in it. Feature this week, high-definition television. We get calls. I'm on this station during the week, and then I also do some radio in Chicago. And once in a while in Los Angeles, they let me on the air out there, which I actually like because it's later in the day, and I'm a little more wide awake than doing morning radio in the Eastern or Central time zones. But they've all wanted to talk about high-definition TV. What is it? What it is, to put it in very technical terms, really cool.
Yeah, I think it's very technical. Yeah. Excellent. I could have said it better myself.
But, I mean, now you've got HDTV, and Chuck's got a 7-inch HDTV.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Chuck's feeling a little inadequate right now.
But, now, what kind of TV do you have?
Hitachi. And it's projection technology.
Yeah.
Which actually, there's some pretty neat projection stuff. And a lot of people, it's all been about plasma, and a lot of people are concerned about the life of them.
Yeah.
And then LCD, but those are really expensive. Yeah. Projection, don't forget about projection. They take up more space, and I think the cool idea about plasmas and LCD was the fact that, wow, I could hang it on the wall like a picture. Now, that is neat, but other than that, you can get a lot of brilliance out of some projection technology. There's a new one from Sony called SXRD.
Yeah, SXRD is from Sony, and then JVC has a similar technology. And then, of course, there's the digital light projection technology, DLP technology. Those are the new rear projection televisions.
Right.
And what they're trying to overcome is the CRT guns that do...
Right.
You know, people talk about plasma television, for example. Just to kind of get some background here, to watch high-definition TV, what happens is you get the equivalent... It's really done in pixels now, but you have to equate it to the old-fashioned TV scan lines. Old-fashioned TV's maximum scan resolution was, I think, 480. right?
480 interlaced?
Yeah, interlaced.
There's IMP, and I think we should explain the difference between
right.
the two.
Right. Interlaced means, it's
basically alternating lines.
Alternating lines. So you're really only looking at half the picture at any given time, but it's an illusion on your screen. What's happened is that you've got 720 lines of resolution now, and they are, it's called 720p.
Right.
Which means that the picture's really there the whole time. That's not what the P stands for, but
progressive
scan, which means that it's kind of like a curtain effect. The curtain is constantly coming down so that this picture is constantly being refreshed, but not at the expense of the old picture. So the picture's still there all the time on your screen. So it's a much more fluid look. It looks like a photograph more than an interlaced, which has that strobing effect, which you really don't see with your eyes, but your brain does interpret that strobe, and it does lower the resolution.
Yeah, I like to compare it with a computer monitor, because your computer monitor has different resolutions, and you can go to, and really the higher resolution is like expanding your desktop, giving you more density of pixels, and 1080i is even higher, and you can do high definition in 1080i, which is interlaced, but from what I've read, 1080p is not available. So there is.
Well, there is one television, JVC.
Did I say 1080p?
1080p is an existing technology, but nobody broadcasts in it, and you can't really get it. There's one television set that people can afford anyway, and that's the JVC with their equivalent to digital light projection. Mm-hmm. It's a silicon-based LCD panel, which is, again, almost identical to what Sony is trying to do with their latest generation of projection TVs. But it has a 1080p format. But these formats, these different high-definition formats, means more pixels, but some of that crosses over to the TV. But essentially what you have is a picture, even at 720p, that's so sharp, it kind of fools your eyes. It looks like you're looking out the window instead of looking at a television set.
Yeah,
in other words, you can count the freckles on somebody's arm and the hairs in their eyebrow. It's amazing.
Mike's got a lot of spare time.
Yes,
actually,
I do.
There's a top 10 list that was just on MSN for the people that look worse on HDTV.
Yeah.
What's the name from Desperate Housewives again? Terry Hatcher was
one,
yes, and then there was like three or four others.
Well, that would make sense. I can think of a couple myself. I like John Madden, but when he's in high def on Monday Night Football, hey, there's Shrek.
There's Caliendo when we need him.
Yeah. Now, that's one thing the actors complain about. The picture is so sharp that you can see their makeup, for example, particularly the ones that are covering up lines and wrinkles, but all of them wear lipstick because your lips disappear on television, so you can see that a guy's wearing lipstick. So it does detract from the suspended disbelief that you really need to have to watch a television show. Mm-hmm. But like watching CSI in high definition and seeing the autopsy in high def, you just don't want to miss that. It's just
amazing.
Are
you going on TV today?
No.
Why are you wearing lipstick today?
Sorry. This is why I do radio. So,
excuse me.
This is essentially high definition TV. Is a very sharp picture, and it has several different formats. As you've heard, most televisions that you're going to buy are going to be in 720p now, and they have an option to display in 1080i. But the final technology, in my opinion, is going to be 1080p, because 1080p, in about a year, they're going to have HD DVDs, high-definition DVDs, and a DVD player that you'll be able to buy that's in high-def, and they're all going to be in 1080p. So I would say that televisions will eventually catch up to them. But my personal opinion, most of what I see today is in 720p. When I watch a 1080, because my TV can do 1080 INP, when I watch those, it's too hard to tell. It's like if you're an audiophile and you got a $800 stereo or a $3,000 stereo, most people can't tell the difference. I think that's definitely true here.
Yeah, which TV do you have?
I have that JVC.
You have that?
Yeah.
Because one caveat, so I was looking at the Sony SXRD, and it's amazing, 1080i, and it says, and they're selling it with the fact that it works at 1080p, but one caveat is that it can't accept a signal as 1080p. Even though the screen can do it.
Not yet.
With a PC connection.
Right.
And the HDMI connection can't handle a 1080p.
Yeah, I found if I use, well, we'll get into connections right after the break, but right. What I found is there's different ways to plug this stuff into your TV. So what we've covered now is what is HD, what does it look like, and it looks really good. When we come back, we're going to talk about where the signals come from, where you get HD TV signals, and then we're going to follow up or finish up with all the different kinds of televisions you can buy and what you should get. And you can see that it can be a little confusing, so we'll just kind of break that down for you. Also, we'll have Scott's Geek of the Week software pick coming up a little bit later, some announcements, and your calls at 421-9325 if you have a computer question or a technology question or want to say hi to Chuck. You're listening because I like picking on you. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with The Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft, going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
Well, I bought it up from Windows Home and China.
And we're back. Are we back already? We're back with more of MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks in the studio. Scott Rustin, Function One Systems. Chuck Swanson, Swanson Computer Consulting and Training, or Training something and like Consulting, that. Something like that. And
not
snowmobile.
In that order.
You get snowmobile lessons, too. Now, before the show, you're talking about. Your kids go sledding down a hill near your home.
Yes.
And then instead of making them walk up the hill,
yes,
you give them a ride.
Yeah, I put a rope on the back of the snowmobile and then pull them up.
You know, you could really have a lot of fun is like right near the top of the hill, just hit the gas as the throttle as hard as you can and then stop. And then that sled will just catapult off the top of the hill. That'll be a ride that they won't forget.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. They won't be asking for any more trips to Disney World after that. I can tell you that. We'll just do the hill thing. This is our own home version of Space Mountain. 421-9325, 421-WFBL is the number to call. When we last spoke, we were talking about high-definition TV, and essentially it's double the picture resolution, plus they do some other things.
Don't forget about the aspect. That's
double really the picture resolution and more that they do to improve the picture, plus the way that they display the picture to you gives this... wonderful, sharp, sharp, sharp picture. Again, I like to equate it to whatever you're watching on TV, it's like looking out your window and you have the windows really clean, like, you know, high-definition windows.
Right.
Somebody did that in a commercial sometime, but no one remembers. And then the aspect ratio, like you said, Scott, if it's broadcast in high-definition, then the picture is going to be like a movie theater picture.
Right.
When
wide
it's
screen.
16 to 9.
16 to 9 ratio.
Yeah,
16 width to 9 ratio.
Yeah, which I don't like because that's a fraction you can't reduce. And doesn't that bother you? Shouldn't it be like 16
yeah.
to 8?
Yeah,
so then it can be 1 by 2. It's a perfect rectangle. No, they can't do that.
But confusing.
That's a math. Right. That's my math humor.
Very good.
Math is not funny.
And 4:3, my guess is the reason why, because movies were out before TVs, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were always wide. Format,
well, no,
maybe?
And no. Back in the black and white days, or even
back when you were young.
Yeah, back before right. the Earth cooled, when they had movies, they were on a square screen, like the Wizard of Oz, things
the
like that.
Movies were too, because I thought
yeah, they were square.
Okay,
they became right. wide. Right, as a response to television. When television came out, they said, well, we got to do something to beat out television, and then CinemaScope came out and all of that, and now you have that on your television. And I have to say this, too. If you have a widescreen, high-definition TV, the picture is as good as the movie theater picture, maybe
right.
better.
Right.
Digital projectors are pretty sharp now in the movie theaters, but we don't have many of them around here with it's digital projectors.
Isn't it funny when you watch, because I think they're rapidly converting a lot of the old movies, the film, to HD.
Yes.
Isn't it kind of funny? You watch them and you can see the little flecks of dust or whatever. That, you know,
yeah.
The little. Isn't it kind of. I don't know if that gives.
Apparently
it,
not as funny as you'd hoped, but yeah.
Well, it's not that funny. But
Now, you know, where did we get the picture from? Well, you know, you have over-the-air cable,
yep.
and you have a satellite, pretty much, is where, and then you have a direct source like a DVD.
Right.
Now, DVDs right now are not in high definition. So let's start there. But that's not a bad thing because you will get the maximum digital resolution from a high definition or enhanced definition, which we won't talk about. But just to warn you, when you go to a store for a flat screen TV in particular, like an LCD or a plasma, you will see enhanced definition. It's not high def. If you want high def, don't buy it. By high definition.
Right, just remember ED is bad, right?
Well, it's not bad, it's just not high definition, and you'll get fooled by seeing a $3,000 television in front of you, and it's got a great picture, but it's not high definition, and there is a difference. But when you're watching a DVD, there really isn't, because a DVD is going to show at maximum resolution on your high-definition TV, but most contemporary high-definition TVs can upsize that picture to 720p and try to do their best to improve it, and boy, does it make a difference. It looks really, really good. Not as good as a high-def broadcast, but very close.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other sources, you got to go right to satellite next. Satellite providers will try to give you as many high-definition channels as they can, but no one has local channels in high-definition.
I recommend Voom if you want to sign up.
Yeah.
It's real cheap right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, because they went out of business.
Yeah. So that's kind of. I think they were just. I mentioned this on the air last week when I was doing my little morning bits. Voom was a great idea, but just a little bit too early. Now 15% of the country watches high-definition TV, owns a high-definition
right.
TV. If they had come into the market now, they probably would have survived just fine. 30 high-def channels, really great. Right now, if you get basic cable with basic digital cable from Time Warner, it's going to sound like a Time Warner commercial here, but if you get basic cable from them, you will get anywhere around 10 or 12 high-definition channels, and you'll get YES Television, Yankee Television,
right.
when the Yankees are in season in high-def. If you're a Yankee fan or hater, you can watch the Yankees in high-definition. Somebody got, he's
I
looking
agree.
At Gus.
Yeah.
So cable is great. The satellites do a pretty good job as well, but cable is really the place if you have a high-definition TV. For example, if you have HBO, Showtime, and digital cable, you're going to get 17 high-definition channels, including all the broadcast channels.
Right.
And right now, CBS broadcasts most of its evening shows, 8 o'clock and after, in high-definition. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
But some of the other major cities, the news is already in high-definition. It's not in the Syracuse area.
Yeah, right? I found that. I was out in Seattle, and I got interviewed on television. And this is for comedy, but it wasn't for computers. But I'm out in Seattle, and I get interviewed on television, and I was watching it in a bar that evening before going on stage, and it was in high def, and man, I'm glad I do radio. That's
all. Are you one of those people that looks better in HD?
Yeah, well, HD adds a few hundred pounds, but and I don't need that. But
maybe they were using the stretch.
Yeah, they were, actually, and it was frightening. Like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of flash on the screen, and that's just my chin.
On a related note, it's also kind of funny when you have a regular broadcast and you switch it over to to widescreen.
Oh, yeah.
It stretches out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then the TVs have adjustable aspect ratios. Are pretty easy to work with. But so you get your broadcast, I would have to say, if you have digital cable. Now, this is also important. If you have digital cable, you're going to get a high-definition box, no extra charge. They're going to give you a high-def TV.
No extra charge, but then you have to pay for the extra channels. No?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, well, HBO HD comes with HBO, Showtime HD comes with Showtime, but that's it. They have two HD channels that are free, and they show like the IMAX movies that you see at the Science Center.
Yes, yes.
I have those all recorded, those 45-minute movies that are actually unbelievable. I mean, you know, you're sitting there. The picture is so great. I mean, you could watch somebody reading a telephone book over like the Giants game. I mean, it's just, it's so visually stunning. But then you watch the Bears, and I know more about bears and sharks and the Amazon than I need to know, because the Nature Discovery is in high definition. TNT has high definition, which is very cool for basketball. Yeah, yeah. So programming is really, really cool for high definition. Cable is the place to go. Yeah. 17 channels, like I said, I think at the maximum. But at the minimum, it's still like 10 or 12 channels, and you spend most of your time down there. And it's growing all the time. And the reason that it's going to grow is that the analog television spectrum is going away. Mm-hmm. Your channels 3 through whatever it is, 70-something,
will be gone. Just
because it's
digital doesn't mean that it's HD. There's a lot of digital channels as well.
Right, but most digital channels, it's easier to broadcast in a digital HD in a digital format, plus digital television, which we've done this show a couple of months ago, but digital television will allow a single television station to have multiple signals. They could broadcast 3 or 4 different shows at once, so it's going to be a big improvement. Let's go ahead.
And they're playing a lot of stuff too that you normally don't see. They're doing Warren Miller ski films now on the NHD channel.
Oh yeah, isn't that
awesome,
neat? The snowboarders and stuff like that.
Extreme skiers. Yeah, and they do racing and everything else.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool concept. But if you're holding off buying an HD TV because you can't watch DVDs in HD, don't do that, because the TVs can do simulated HD, which is fantastic looking with DVDs, and you do have plenty of HD channels to choose from, and like I said, you'll spend all your time down there if you have an HD TV. We're going to go to a call, and then when we come back, then we'll take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the different televisions that you can buy, just so everybody knows. And let's go to Jim's got a question on an iPod. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have an iPod, and I've had it for a couple of years. It's been fine. Well, suddenly, in iTunes, on the source list, my iPod doesn't show up. Mm-hmm. So we called Apple Care people, and they took us through a bunch of steps. We reinstalled iTunes. We tried changing the FireWire to the USB, and we tried a bunch of things. And the technician at Apple finally said, well, either the iPod is broken and you need to take it into Apple, have it checked, or is your computer. Well, I'm going to take it into Apple to see if it's the iPod. But my question is, if it's not the iPod, what could possibly be wrong with the computer, and how would I be able to get that fixed?
Mm-hmm. Well, can you download it to the computer to start with before download it to the iPod, or are you doing it directly?
I don't understand your question.
Is it a Macintosh or is it a Windows-based machine? Yeah, that's really what you should ask first.
That was my question.
Yes, because if it's a Windows-based machine, you can play it on the Windows box first before playing it on the iPod. So is it Windows or a Macintosh?
It's Windows.
Oh, okay, so you should be able to play it on the Windows machine without even using the iPod first.
Well, iTunes. I can play that on the computer, but the computer does not recognize there's an iPod connection.
So you can't even see the device.
As a device, and from what I heard, he's using FireWire. Did you also try the USB, you said?
Yeah, we switched them over, and it didn't make any difference.
Here's my advice. And now, so that means you've changed cables too, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Try it on a different computer?
No.
Do that first. Easier than taking it all the way down to Apple.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And here's why. If you try it on a different computer and it still doesn't work and you've switched out your cables too,
yeah,
so you're using a new cable and the old cable, now you know it's the iPod and you can, you know, there won't be any, I think Apple's very accommodating, but they're not going to give you a hard time now because you've tried everything else and it's definitely the iPod.
Plus they're going to try to sell you a Mac and you don't want to do that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another radio show.
I would look in Device Manager and see if it shows up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to get into Device Manager?
No.
There's two ways to do it. If you want to do it the easy, friendly way, just right-click on My Computer and then click Management, and it's right on the tree there. I like to do everything from command line. These guys know that. Mm-hmm. It's devmgmt.msc, devmgmt.msc. It's a Microsoft management
Nobody's writing that down. Yeah, if you go right mouse click on My Computer and go to Manage, what you may see is like your USB software isn't working right or something else. So if you test this on another computer and it works, and then the problem is with your current local computer, then what should he do to kind of, it's probably a software problem with his USB. How do we refresh that, Chuck?
Well, it could also be maybe USB hub issue, too. Using USB hub, or is it directly plugged into the computer itself?
Well, I had it on a hub, but we tried bypassing
good, excellent.
Directly a USB on the computer, and it didn't make any difference.
Oh, good. Sounds like you've done some excellent troubleshooting so
far. Let me ask one more question. I'm assuming it's XP you're using. When you plug it in, does a little bubble come up in the lower right saying
found
USB device found, hardware found?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
it sounds like a problem.
And by the way, you can test this on a Mac, too. If you got a buddy who's got a Mac, no problem bringing it over there. I mean, you don't have to test it on another Windows-based machine, either.
Yeah, all right. But I would say that if it doesn't work there and you've tried all this other stuff, is there a way of removing the USB device drivers and then restarting your computer and it'll go out and try to reinstall them? Or
Generally speaking, you got to go into what Scott said, the device manager, and then just go and blow it away, and then usually it's best just to restart your machine and let Windows find it again.
Right, so you actually take the USB port off your computer through Device Manager, which is at right mouse click on My Computer Manage, and then take the device out and then shut your machine down, restart it. It'll say, oh, there's a USB device that I found a new piece of hardware and install it, right?
Yeah, actually, instead of restarting, you can just right click up at the top of the tree and do find new hardware.
Find new hardware. Now, if that doesn't work, then you do have a hardware problem with your computer. So
I'm thinking it might be the iPod.
Yes. Yeah, I would say so, and here's why. The connection what kind of iPod do you have, Jim?
It's iPod Mini.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have a very kind of fragile USB connection that can work its way loose.
Yeah.
The solder comes loose, and it's likely that it's that. Of course, it's easy. Like I said, the easiest way to find out for sure is try it on another computer. If it doesn't immediately recognize the iPod, then on another computer, the minute you plug it in, then it's definitely the iPod or the cable, but you've already ruled that out, and you take it to the Mac store. Where are you going to go, in the Carousel Mall?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have other USB devices on the computer now?
Yes, I do.
And they're working?
They're working.
My guess is the iPod.
Yeah, it's the iPad. Okay, Jim.
That's good news. It's under warranty. I'll get a freebie, maybe.
There you go. Yeah. Good luck. Let us know how that works out.
Thanks for your help.
All right, Jim.
You're welcome.
Take care. 421-9325-421-WFBL. Like I said earlier, to give you a little preview, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do Scott's Geek of the Week software pick. We'll kind of wrap up the different kinds of televisions you can buy, and Chuck's going to tell us all about. We'll start with the 7-inch flat screen TVs and work all the way up to the 58-inch projection TVs. When we come back, you're listening to MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks, right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Call the Technology Geeks now at 00111000100.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the Computer Outlet. The Computer Outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do,
And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The Computer Outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The Computer Outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The Computer Outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the Computer Outlet today.
Is that monthly internet bill starting to really break the bank? When you can surf the internet for $9.95, why would you ever pay more? That's right. At USA DataNet, you get unlimited internet access for only $9.95. There's no setup fees, you get unlimited email addresses, and a high-speed dial-up connection. With USA DataNet, you receive the same fast, reliable internet service you get with a big-name provider, but for a fraction of the cost. And those aren't the only features USA DataNet offers. There are no contractual commitments, and USA DataNet provides a friendly, full, technical support team to answer any of your questions. So now, you can get the same internet for a much better deal. Go to usadatanet.com to sign up today. See for yourself why so many people are turning to USA DataNet for their internet service. Don't delay and keep throwing your money away. Go to usadatanet.com and join today. USA DataNet, the same internet for a much better deal.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
It's all about the busyness, baby.
It's all about the Athlons, is it now, or the dual core, or if you have an Xbox, the triple core.
Yeah, it's very nice.
CPUs. It's not about the Pentiums. Our music's getting outdated. We got to call Weird Al and have him write some new computer music.
Right.
You're listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. Mike Rayo here with Scott Russ and Chuck Swanson. We got Gus working the boards, Mel working the phones, and taping and all of that, all the technology stuff behind us. She's making bunny ears when I'm not looking, all that kind of stuff. 421-9325 is the number to call. Let's do the Geek of the Week software pick. Scott went over, you're going to fill in for Jim, who's,
yeah.
He kind of comes up with the software pick about 5 seconds before he says it.
Right.
And I can see you got all kinds of papers there and everything, and you've prepared.
My homework. No, MajorGeeks.com. is a great site. It's a great resource, and there's a lot of things that as you need them, you go and find them, and utilities and stuff like that. So if you don't need it, then you're not going to go there. But there are a lot of utilities that there's a lot of utilities that might come in handy for the average person. And I tried to do a pick that was like that. For example, one that most people wouldn't use is FileZilla. It's a free FTP program. I used to use one called QtFTP. And then it became cluttered with ads and stuff like that, and it's just awful. So my pick is this FastStone Photo Resizer 2.0, because I figured it's a great little program. I used it a little bit, and it's quick. It allows you to resize photos in a batch mode. If you've ever had to work on a whole bunch of photos at once and resize them reduce them down to email to somebody. Now, there are ways in XP to do that. XP will resize them for email. But this will do more things, like add watermark, put a signature on it. It'll rename the files to a certain naming convention that you decide on. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy to use. It looks very much XP. It's actually got the skin look of the media player.
Yep.
With a little, it doesn't have the normal, start bar or task file bar at the top. So, pretty neat little program, FastStone Photo Resizer.
Yeah. Now, what you can do with this is, people who take digital pictures, especially people who are new or sometimes even not so new.
Right.
Well, like, oh, this is a great picture. I'm going to email it to my father to see his grandchildren.
Right.
And it's a 5-megapixel picture, and
right.
it just crushes
oh, yeah.
grandpa's dial-up connection.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I want to see the picture, but, you know, it's going to take 4 days to view it online, and
yep.
they could have overnighted it to me, and I'd have it tomorrow.
Right. I'll never get this picture.
Right. So you, what this does is it allows you to resize in preset sizes. Like you can say, I want to do
right.
it on the web. I want to resize it for email, so mm-hmm. you can optimize a picture to whatever resolution you need to for the use that you're going to have without losing the original picture, of course.
Right, right? Absolutely. You save it, you output to another folder.
Yep.
And that's my recommendation, too. You know, always keep your original pictures. I archive
yes.
them, because a lot of people have all these digital photos, and they don't know what to do with them. You know, like my dad, for example, has, you know, the digital camera with the little memory cards, and he said, well, the memory card's full. I better get another memory card. Well, you know, obviously, they're not going to stay forever on the memory card. You should archive them on your computer and then back them up redundantly.
Yep.
And then you can keep them forever, and you can do prints down the road. They're just as good as the day you took the picture.
Right.
But if you're going to email them to people, reduce them down and use those. But
I would also say make a hard copy of the picture, put it in a box somewhere, because people, you know, if it's on your computer or on a CD, it's not going to last as long as if it's printed out. And people lose pictures a lot nowadays because of digital photography.
Yep.
All right, hey, great pick. Let's do some announcements. We'll get back and we'll close out by talking about TVs. Century Arc PC Users Group, you know those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Their meeting is this Monday at the Liverpool Public Library. Lorraine Deshane, the eBay queen,
oh, yes.
will be there
mm-hmm.
to talk about eBay. Members and non-members, you need to register at cnypcug.org. That's www.cnypcug.snipug.org. And that is Monday at 6 p.m. at the Liverpool Library, located near Burger King, because that's dinner time, so I always kind of swing into the drive-thru.
The C is silent, too, when you say that, right?
What's that?
Snipug, the C is silent?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
That went right over my head. I just like swinging through the drive-thru at Burger King, because
yeah.
it's 6 o'clock. I'm a little hungry.
Give me a double Snipug.
Yeah.
With
to
fries.
Go. To go.
Upsize it.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left. Yes. Let's talk about the different kinds of TVs you can buy. Let's talk about the most expensive TVs you can get, and those are LCD flat panel TVs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Benefits versus the downside to them. First of all, they're the most expensive per diagonal inch. Mm-hmm. That's the downside.
Yeah, downside, they're pretty cheap at 7 inches, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I can imagine,
yeah.
Chuck. You're the expert on that.
By the way, I can also take my picture card, too, and put it in there as a slideshow.
Oh,
show,
wow.
Yes, in the bathroom.
But you're going to watch a slideshow of you taking a shower.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's like staring into an infinite mirror, right?
Next topic.
But the issue there with the LCDs, I mean, you don't have to worry about, you mentioned in the projectors, the bulb. Prices over time, right?
Yeah, right.
What are they, $400 or $500?
Yeah, there's, you know, LCD is a self-emitting light source, which yeah. means it's like your regular picture tube TV.
Yeah.
It produces light, so it will work in any light. You don't have to have special lighting conditions. You don't have
right.
to be sitting right in front of it. It's flat. It can hang on the
yeah.
wall, but it is very expensive. It does have a long life.
You can still get dead pixels, though.
Yeah, you can, but your warranty usually covers you there.
Yep.
You get a screen door effect sometimes, but LCD TVs tend not to have that. They're pretty good picture. Biggest downside is if you're in into big screen TVs,
mm-hmm.
40 inches is about all you're going to get out of an
yes.
LCD. There's just no technology
nope.
that can stretch them beyond that yet.
Yes.
They just don't work.
I'm
so.
Waiting. Just looking forward, it's going to be a year to buy it.
You get an LCD projector.
Yeah. The other flat panel
yep.
technology, of course, is plasma, which we've heard about. Great contrast ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes does have what's called a screen door effect because it is pixels.
Yep.
Sometimes it looks like you're looking at the screen through a screen door if you're too close to the TV
mm-hmm.
for its size. If you're back far enough, you don't really see that, but and that's its technology.
Burning
yeah. is the big thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think kind of a myth nowadays. It's going to last about as long as your regular TV, 10, 12 years. They do have pixel refreshers now, so they don't have that problem. And what's called a whitewash feature, which will take a burn in and get rid of it.
Right.
Then you got the projection TVs, which we all talked
yeah.
about, and they're the best buy for the money.
Oh, yeah.
LCD projection,
yep.
Sony's new technology.
Yeah, SXRD. It's awesome.
XRD.
I think it uses a combination of DLP
and JVC, which has a similar technology, and that's the TV I have.
Right.
That's it for this week.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to see you guys are going to fill in for me later in the month, too.
Thanks,
right?
Have a respect.
Okay,
sure.
So long.
Hey, the download. Then maybe later, we're gonna burn a dozen CDs.
Talk radio.